Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Just doing a little clap goofing here on a Tuesday episode of Zero Block 30, of which we have four rounds in the magazine today. Round number one, we're going to get it started. I wasn't going to say it, but now I am. Buckle up, sluts. We got a new missile alert, and the Space Force has a new guide on. They don't rate a full flag yet. They just have a guide on. Round number two, Reddit has the most timeless Twitter letter I have ever seen. Or just letter, not Twitter letter. Most timeless letter I've ever seen. We're going to break it down for you shotgun style. Give it a little board check to see if it's cleared hot. That was a little too much, even for my motivated, nasty little body on a Monday. Round number three, a little Singapore social distancing goofing led to a former Air Force member's arrest and spending 4 weeks in a Singapore jail. That sounds less than ideal. And finally, round number five, technology was all over the news today in very different ways. One was in Dubai with the fanciest helmets you've ever seen, and another was in Afghanistan with hellfire and brimstone. And all that's going to be presented by a good friend of ours who you might want to roast their weenies on a little bit of hellfire and brimstone. They are Feltman's hot dog folks, Feltman's of Coney Island. They are absolutely delicious. And not only are they delicious all year round, but this time of year is especially important because they're going to be donating profits to Comfort Care, to TAFS that provides comfort care and resources to all those giving that are grieving the death of a military loved one since 1994. TAPS has provided comfort and hope 24/7 through a national peer-supported network and connection to grief resources, all at no cost to surviving family members and loved one. Coney Island, the Feltman's of Coney Island was started by, or they got, oh my good God almighty. Let's rewind a little bit. Feltman's of Coney Island is two brothers, Michael and Joe Quinn. It's in honor of their late brother, Jimmy, who was tragically killed on 9/11. We're good friends with them, but they've been on the show. Joe's actually been on the show whenever he was the CEO of Headstrong, which is an organization that we care a lot about too. Feltman's team has 31 years total in uniform and 113 months deployed. They're awesome. You've seen them on our Instagram page on Wiener Wednesday and all that stuff. Make sure you go check them out. You're going to get a good deal with Feltman's at ConeyIsland.com. The website purchase is going to support the TAPS Foundation through the Memorial Day season. And make sure that you're tagging them at Feltman's of Coney Island and hashtag love lives on.
Wiener's for a good cause.
It is good for a good cause. I always like that. Whenever we have, one, you get a good hot dog, and two, it's for a good cause. It's a little double whammy. That's what they call it in the biz.
Good old double good wieners.
Good old double wiener.
Mm-hmm. Double wiener. Double-sided wiener.
I love that.
Who doesn't?
Monday. Tuesday. Oh, where are we?
Hello. Let's go with the show. I definitely don't have a case of the old Mondays today. It was a good weekend here, Kate. I saw you were traveling around on your bike. Kind of quiet on the old Instagram this weekend.
Well, there's a reason for that I will explain to you guys offline. But I was out and about doing things, and I played golf yesterday at a course called The Architects, which is very interesting, chaps. Each hole is designed in the same vein as a very famous architect.
Oh, I've seen that. World. Where is that? That's in Maryland, right? You went all the way to Maryland?
No, it's very much in New Jersey. Oh. It's just very far out in western New Jersey.
You think an idea that tacky would be anywhere else?
I actually think it's a wonderful idea. What was your favorite hole?
Probably the ninth hole. It was a Donald Ross design, and I'm partial to Donald Ross because I grew up caddy.
Isn't the Donald Ross design?
This is an original Donald Ross.
I grew up caddying on a country club that was a Donald Ross club, so I
like it. Father, let me go to the club and caddy for his friends.
Papa.
So that was nice. It was, and then I actually played on Saturday as well. It was very hot. It was a good time on Saturday. Can just getting out there and getting out.
You were down on the down low because you didn't want to get corona shamed. Is that what it is? You're afraid.
What would I get corona shamed about? I didn't do anything against corona.
That's what they tell themselves.
Yeah, you're allowed to be golfing. The governor said so.
Well, the governor said jump off the bridge.
I was in a crowded park as well.
I saw you cruising around on your bike. You're going to be addicted to bike. You're just going to be a crazy bike lady.
13 and a half miles on Saturday. Whole bunch yesterday. I'm popping wheelies over curbs. It's getting pretty intense. I'm not brave enough to do the no handsies yet, but I'm getting there.
Oh, so, come on.
Does your bike have gears?
21, yeah.
Oh, see, I had a conversation with my wife this weekend because we all got bikes too. And we went out to a little park and I said, you know what makes this Margaritaville bike really lovely? The fact that there's no gears that you have to fool with.
Yeah,
you're just out there cruising.
I love that. Yeah, because there's the bridges here. Mm-hmm. And so it helps to have them for that and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just a damn delight. The wind blowing, the weather was finally nice again because it was like total dog shit for a whole month. So it's nice that things are on the upswing. No complaints.
Yeah, we had a good time this weekend too. We did a little bike goofing with the whole squad. I did a lot of projects this weekend. I'm really excited about how that's been going. We were talking a couple months ago, I think, about finding a new passion, finding a new hobby of things you enjoy. I really enjoy it, man. Like, I really enjoy this whole new working out of my garage thing. I told my family last night, we were sitting down to eat dinner. It was delicious, by the way. It had salmon, edamame, and a little rice baked. And we all mixed it up in a bowl. It was so good. And we were sitting around. I was like, you know what? I probably, in the last 2 days, have spent more time outside than any 2 days since I've gotten out of the Marine Corps.
Holy shit.
Pretty ridiculous of a realization. I think you're getting to the point, though. Eventually, you're going to run out of stuff to do to your house. So you're just going to start making shit up. And your wife, your kids, and be like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no. This has to happen. We need to build this fourth staircase that goes from the bathroom to the garage. It's very important.
I think he's going to go the Etsy route. Make a little cash on the side.
Yeah, how about that? What if I made a little bit of money? Because I was looking yesterday. The thing that I built yesterday, you can buy it easily for like $400 or $500 if you're looking online, that type of thing. I also found the instructions for build your own skee ball table. Can you imagine?
See, this is
haters?
What I'm talking about. Make your own skee ball table.
Hater
like,
said
what?
You won't do it. Hater said you won't do
Could
it.
Could you imagine if you came up and they're like, oh, where'd you get that skee ball table? I made it. People would be like, what the fuck?
And that game, you never get sick of it. I still play.
Yeah, like if you had it up there and it had the return thing and all that all in your house and you're getting there, you're getting good. And, oh, man, that might be something that I have to do eventually.
Please
That's
do it.
That's a big project.
I would bump that up on the list to number one, honestly.
Number one, I gotta rip down the steps. But I got a big crowbar, a big yellow crowbar for that. I gotta rip down the steps in the backyard. That's gonna be a process.
You're gonna look just like Marv from Home Alone.
My entire body aches, guys. Like my back hurts, my core hurts, but I actually feel pretty good. My hands are getting rough again. I'm sitting outside doing some stuff. It took me yesterday. I won't spend too long. It took me 3 hours. To change or to put a blade on a miter saw. Three hours.
So
I can't believe.
Hand up. I've never changed a blade on a miter saw, but I feel like 3 hours is a little too long to be doing that.
All these dudes on Twitter were chirping me. It was like, oh, that's a 2-minute job. Of course it is guy with fucking carpenter in his handle.
Yeah. Chuck, yes. Tonight,
for you,
I can't
that's
believe
a fast job.
You haven't brought this up. This is the most interesting thing to me. All these. These are the same breed. This is the civilian version of tankardos who are like, actually it's an apron.
They're basically calling me Carpenter Poke.
This guy said, Nathaniel Avila said, this is the state of men these days. How embarrassing. You aren't even worthy of that piece of shit Harbor Freight miter you saw.
Don't
you
talk
bought.
Shit about Harbor Freight. It's cheap
Harbor
and it's affordable.
Freight. I'd question if it's even safe for you to be using a miter saw in the first place.
It's not.
Put it together. Imagine being a miter saw hardo.
Like, I know. So I don't condone this, but people went to this guy's website because he uses his actual name. He's a carpenter and builds like cabinets. And people were like, your cabinets fucking suck.
But imagine
cabinets to pieces.
Imagine being so triggered by a stranger, you know, talking about a miter saw that you go off on them on Twitter. That's just ridiculous to me.
You just a miter saw
openly admit that I don't know what I'm doing. It's not like I act like I'm good at it. I'm trying to learn something new. So the thing with this miter saw, it's got these, it's like six pieces that have to go together perfectly for it to work. Otherwise, the blade wobbles and wobbles, and it sounds like it's gonna fly off. So yeah. You gotta get it just right. When I first took it off, because you gotta take it all the way off to put a blade on, there's a little piece called an arbor that fell into the middle of the whole saw contraption that I didn't see. But I was like, I'm missing something, but there's nothing around here. Where could it possibly be? I finally go get this bright-ass light, shine it inside, and I see it poking its little head out on the side corner like, oh, hello, 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 hello. I get my needle nose prize. I pull it out, and then I finally put it together. 3 hours later, it fucking works, and then I was just cruising. It was fun. I had a good time with it. New hobby alert. I'm excited about it, as you can probably tell. I'm not usually excited about a lot.
Okay, so you built that couch, which I'm a little concerned about the height on the back of the couch, but I understand it's also an outdoor couch, so we might be able to get away with that. My next question is, what is the next piece of furniture that you're going to build?
I'm not sure what the next piece of furniture is, and the reason why the couch is going that level, because it's going up against the banister in the back. Okay. So there'll already be one other length there that's going to be supported, and then there's going to be pillows that'll go there. So
yeah, sorry for calling you out on that, Chaps. Yeah. It's just that I was at a golf course this weekend that celebrated architecture, so.
It'll make sense when we're done. The next one, I'm building, listen to this, guys. This one, I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. A barbecue station for my big green egg, and I'm going to try my hand at creating my own homemade concrete countertop.
Wow. We're going from carpentry to masonry.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Doing all kinds of stuff. We don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out. Well, there was one thing, because my wife was like, do you think you could eventually put a porch on? I was like, no, I don't think I could, because now with like the couch, like if I fuck up the couch and it doesn't work out, that's $30 lost, like $30 worth of wood that's right. lost. If I try something to attach something to our home and it rips it down, that's a big fuck up.
Yeah.
That's not a risk I'm going
to
take.
If you ever go to sell it, people are like, what the fuck is this porch?
What's with that huge ass hole in the back of your house?
Dog.
What? Yeah.
Framed in on his house. That doesn't make any sense at all. Any sense at all. Let's get going with the actual show. Because there is some news stories, not a whole lot. We're getting to the spot in this show where everything in the world is coronavirus related. I don't give a fuck about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I can't imagine that you guys do. But there are these little nuggets of funny that are serious topics, but they just pop up and they sprinkle the little life into me. And this was one of them. We had the President of the United States was talking about the introduction of the Space Force as an official branch whenever they unveiled their flag, which we're calling a guidon because it looks like a Star Trek thing. They're going to get roasted for that. Now, with graphic designers and what they can do with Photoshop, you got to have a better flag than that.
I feel like that was some White House official's son was like, oh, I want to make it, Dad. And he was like, okay, sure.
Nepotism
like,
that in the form of
Space that looked like flags. Dumpster fire Adobe work. Like, that was, that's very bad.
Yeah, well, I just think of the crests of the other branches and how regal they look. And certainly they were created hundreds of years ago, so they're going to have a different flavor to them.
But the Air Force's wasn't. They weren't
right,
hundreds.
Correct. Correct. That's a good point. So I feel like they just could have done a little bit better. This just looks almost cartoony. Yeah,
but you could say that the Air Force, they're the young brother on the block. Theirs is probably the worst now. Like, theirs was the worst until the Space Force came along.
Right.
Yeah, they're making a poor showing, all of them.
They are. But the president was talking in the Oval Office. We're going to pump in his clip so you can hear what he says, because not only was he talking about Space Force, he's talking about a missile that, my friends, is super duper. Here's the president of the United States.
Incredible military equipment. At a level that nobody's ever seen before. We have no choice. We have to do it with the adversaries we have out there. We have, I call it the super duper missile. And I heard the other night 17 times faster than what they have right now. Then you take the fastest missile we have right now. You've heard Russia has 5 times and China's working on 5 or 6 times. We have one 17 times and it's just gotten the go ahead. 17 times faster, if you can believe that, General. That's something, right? 17 times faster than what we have right now. Fastest in the world by a factor of almost 3. So I just want to congratulate everybody and thank everybody. Space is going to be the future. both in terms of defense and offense and so many other things. And already, from what I'm hearing and based on reports, we're now the leader in space.
I love it. I think it's so often we have missiles that are named things that are like badass. Like we're going to talk about in round four, Hellfire missiles, Scud, Patriot, Fat Boy, Little Man. And now introducing Super Duper missile.
Well, there's MOAB, the mother of all bombs. That was a doozy that got everybody rock hard about it. This one I could see turning into like a, our next missile is a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Either way, blah, blah, blah. I can see, I don't know. I'm liking all the razzle dazzle we're adding to our bombs these days. I'm not mad at it.
But I don't know how they make it. So, like, if you, like, it's funny, Super Duper. 17 times faster than the current fastest missile? How? Like whenever they introduce whenever they introduce speeds, I've seen missiles fly across the sky. That's pretty fast. You speed that up times 17, try speeding up my voice times 17 on the podcast right now. You won't be able to understand what I'm saying. How do they control it? How does it go anywhere? 17 times faster.
Not to mention, do we really need anything to go 17 times faster than it already does?
I don't know how you control it. 17, they already break the sound barrier by a lot, right? Like, how close to speed of light are we getting? Probably pretty far away still. But it seems like that's pretty fast.
You're right. It does. This is a stupid, stupid question. But why do you need it 17 times faster? Like, okay, so you blow up this building a minute sooner than you would have before. Like,
But when the president was talking about it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. When he was like, Russia is building ones that are times five, China's times seven. Now we're going times 17. Their slow-ass times sevens are going to be blown to smithereens by the time we get there.
You're right. Really, it is like big dick energy. That's kind of what – that's only
that's what it comes down to. It's just so that we can say we have something that's 17 times faster. It won't necessarily have any – positive effect on utilization of the missile, but
our
it just sounds
can run faster than your missiles.
Yeah, it briefs well.
My
briefs
dad. Well.
True, but I also kind of think that this missile might be the same thing as the pizza flavored goldfish.
Terrible.
Yes, wasn't. Yeah,
and wasn't by that was I mean,
me. Don't explain yourself. That's
by that I mean when something says times three the amount of flavor, I don't know if I believe that. Like, right. If you say something has three times the flavor of this old thing, I don't think so. Times three the flavor. Now you're talking times 17.
Right.
There's no way that I could – you can make any claim when it comes to missile science and defense, and people will be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, of course we did. When in reality, I don't know if we did or not.
Right. That's a good point. Hopefully somebody at DARP is listening again.
Yeah, chime in. Tell us how fast is times 17? Kaj, you want to do a quick Google? Fastest missile now. So fastest missile, I'm going to guess, flies at 1,400 miles per hour. That's my guess. What's yours, Kate?
I'm going to say, you know, I'm not good with numbers. So I'm going to go 1,708.
1,708 is Kate's guess. Yeah. Let's see. Fastest missile speed. Kanzi, we got it.
I'm seeing it says Brahmos is the fastest missile in the world. Speed of Brahmos is Mach 2.8.
So what's that? What does that mean? Mach 2.8. What's miles per hour Mach 2.8?
We don't understand magnets. Google. We're not going to figure this out. So.
Oh, we got right, to. We got to get to the bottom of this. The listener
2,148 miles per hour.
2,148 times that by 17, Kanzi.
Oh, man, doing a lot of math here.
Oh, man.
Dance
we're talking
for us, clown.
16,000 miles an hour. Or,
is that possible?
Shit.
I don't think that's possible.
That's around the globe 2.5 times.
I don't believe it.
In an hour.
Wow. 36,516 miles per hour.
I don't believe. I'm not going to call Trump a liar, but I'm not calling him a truther.
36,516 miles an hour?
I don't think that's
no way,
humanly
dude.
Possible.
That's like saying that I can download a gigabyte a second. Get out of town. No, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
too much information.
A lot of chicks play the goldfish.
36,000 miles.
I mean, is that just too much speed?
What's
it's
the
too much speed.
How fat is the globe? I don't know if fat's the term. How?
No, you know what? I'm gonna type in how fat is the globe and see what comes up.
I think it's like 9,000 miles around, right? 12,000?
6,000? Oh, that didn't return anything.
I'm sure this is very exciting to listen to.
How fat is the Earth? The Earth is 24,901 miles around. So it can go 1.5 times around the world in an hour? Get out of town. I don't believe that.
I'm not. Let's work on airplanes doing that, okay? Call me when that happens.
I would love to. Imagine right now, Texas, I hop in a plane, boom, I'm in Moscow in 30 minutes.
Somebody who's a scientist needs to be on the show. You're a scientist.
We're qualified. Yeah. Okay. You went to Fordham. Cons went to West Point, and I went to the Harvard of Central Texas.
So your big thing for round one is, holy fuck, this missile is super fast.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I just say something? You know, everyone's going to knock President Trump for saying super duper. But you pretty much get the gist of what he's talking about when he uses those words.
I knew exactly what he meant as soon as he said super duper.
Yeah.
You break out super duper and boom, I know exactly what you're talking about.
If you're dropping a duper.
You could say any other adjective. You bust out super duper, I'm paying the fuck attention.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine going to a sushi spot and they're like, how's the California roll here? It's super duper.
Boom. Yep.
Every time
it's 17 times better than the old California roll.
Blog headlines, I always try and put super duper in it.
Do you?
No. But if I did, I know. Yeah. But I should give it a whirl.
You should give it a whirl. You know what else people should give a whirl?
ExpressVPN.
That's exactly right. They should give it not only that, but first of all, they should do it for Manscaped
my God.
Manscaped, folks, people are still horny.
For sure.
They're horny. I think actually, the Dutch, our good friends, the Dutch, that they had their interior health said that people need to find sex buddies for quarantine season because it'll make them more happy. And the entire world said, we're not trying to already. People that don't have sex buddies are not currently trying to do that. Like, you're sitting at home, you're like, oh, that's a fantastic idea, the Dutch. We should totally do that in between eating crepes and what have you. Or Dutch school bread, I guess. What's the
baker's? They're going to make sure everybody's nice and trimmed up for the...
Yeah, speaking of trimmed, so Manscaped is the only man dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. It's got precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with essential lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. It's a third-generation trimmer that's been around for a while, but they got new versions of it. It's a super-duper version. People are saying for a limited time subscriber, get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, it's a $39 value, and a patented high performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxer briefs are going to come with it too. This is the perfect package for your perfect package, because no matter what they say, no matter what the haters and losers say, every dick is perfect in its own way. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code zero at manscaped.com. Do your favor and use the right tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off free shipping with the code zero at manscaped.com. That's 20% off of free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code zero. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you. All right, let's move on to round number two. What do we got, Catherine?
It is a letter. And, you know, I don't know the context of it. Where'd you find this thing?
I got this off of Reddit. And let me do this one too.
Yeah.
So we're going through, because there's certain moments where I've read different histories of accounts of what happens at Pearl Harbor or different famous battles, like the historical moments that make our military great, essentially, of what happens. But there's these little tidbits.
Super duper even.
Yeah, super duper. There's these little tidbits in the story that because you think, I'm very different from the people who stormed the beaches at Normandy. I'm very different from the people who were on the sands of Iwo Jima. I'm very different from the people at Guadalcanal. There's moments in all of those stories from all senses of time that binds us all together and shows that the military has been the same since the dawn of age. And now it's the same here. This letter is from World War II. And here it is. It's from a sailor. He says he's writing home to his love. And we found this on Reddit. He said, here I am, a drunk, sick, pissed off, hungry, stupid, regular Navy bastard. Got a hangover, damn flat broke, miss mustard, no liberty, no pussy, no friends, and damn few relatives. need a haircut, homesick, tired, no fucking mail in 3 weeks, inefficient, poor character, our peer character ratings, overtime and grade, rating frozen, pay fucked up, no clothes, laundry rejected, miss chow, leave disapproved, and the chief wants to see me at mustard, got a hard up, got BD, about to shit my pants and the heads are secured for inspection, then some son of a bitch says ship over for the benefits, well, kiss my ass. I think that if you haven't felt that way in service, I'm not quite sure you haven't served.
What's that song, Mama Told Me There'd Be Days Like This?
Yes.
That's a more on the positive side, but this one is like, there's like probably one or two particular days everyone will remember from their time in service that were just the most gaggle fuck of a day of your life. And everybody has them. There's no escaping it. Where it's like every single green weenie the military has, from hurry up and wait to paperwork snafus to whatever, like it all happens to you all at once. And then you get yelled at by somebody to put the cherry on top of everything. So it sounds like this person really crushing it.
Yeah, and it's coming across on a typewriter, just slaps differently too. Typewriter font makes everything hit just a little bit different, because you can imagine the painstaking effort that goes involved in writing that and just sitting down, the short, choppy sentences. We've all been there. My moment like that, what Kate was mentioning, was I was at Marine combat training. I was a young little PSC, still just fresh out of boot camp and MCT, and we were talking to our at the end of each course, you know, I'm sure the Army does this the same way, Cons, where you, at the end of a course, you'll have peer evaluations or you'll have like class feedback, right?
Yep. Yes.
And you have these classes and then you got to go say, and they always say in these class feedback forms, whatever you say, you have amnesty. You can say whatever you want about the class, what you learned, the instructors, whatever. What did you like? What you didn't dislike? Well, I've always had kind of a biting tongue, like where I could kind of cut people down with my words a little bit. So I wrote this letter about one of the sergeants that was in charge of the combat training, and he was teaching us how to take apart Modus, a machine gun. And he fucked up a couple of times, like with headspace and timing, he couldn't do it right. He had to call another instructor over. This was his job as being a combat instructor, was teaching us how to use this weapon, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't get it to fire correctly. Well, I wrote this letter and I wrote like this analogy that if Sergeant McDonald or Sergeant whatever his name is an expert at combat, then the assistant manager at McDonald's is a master chef. And I sent that in on the official form. I was in the chow hall at New River and my first sergeant comes in and starts screaming across the chow hall for PFC Cothran to get the fuck over there right now.
Uh-oh.
And I go into his office and they call me into his office. I'm standing six and centered from his desk. And there's like three or four other sergeants, staff sergeants, gunnies screaming at me on each side of my face, like just going bananas, like that I disrespected this NCO who had apparently already went to combat twice. And I don't know shit. And I'm talking shit in this letter that gets forwarded up. Well, they say that the battalion commander wants to see me, that I might be losing my MOS, all this kinds of stuff, and they want to see me the next day. Well, that night, I'm like terrified, man. Like, I'd only been in the Marine Corps like 4 months at this point, and I'm thinking my career is over before it even starts. Like, I am screwed. They come in, I go to the battalion commander the next day, and he's essentially like, did you learn your lesson? He's like, I'm sure you were terrified last night. He's like, yes, I learned a big lesson. He's like, respect goes a long way. As long as it's mutual, you'll be fine. You'll do good things. I was like, whew, I got a little bit of a break, but I was nervous as hell in those barracks.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't sleep at all.
No.
Yeah, no, everybody for sure has days like that. I can't think of my like particular ones like that one, but I remember the feeling. I remember just sitting in my little Hyundai Sonata staring at the sky.
Yeah.
You know what's great about this letter though too is because it's just it's very nonsensical, and it, you know, Kate, if you're thinking about sitting in your car, you know, I've been in my car and you're just shouting a bunch of shit like right after the other, like, you know, in first sergeant he won't fucking listen to me. Excuse me for the F-bomb, but we're being real here. You know, you just start spewing all this craziness. You just getting it out, just like this letter is written in basically what appears to be, I don't know, like two sentences.
Yeah, It's a couple run-ons. Nothing to be alarmed about. I just think that that's beautiful. People are feeling that same way. I know that that's a sentiment that is all over the globe right now, as our, some of our listeners are in Forward Deploy location. They can't get a haircut. They can't talk to their girlfriend or boyfriend. They can't do anything. Everything seems terrible. It's like Shel Silverstein said, it's a no good, terrible, very bad day. That's how every day feels right now. Every day is perpetually Tuesday and will be for the remainder of our natural lives. Let's move on.
No, good vibes only.
Good vibes only.
Positive vibes only.
We're going to continue those positive vibes by taking a lovely trip out to Singapore. Kate, tell us what's going on in Singapore.
Will do. So an instructor pilot assigned to the Alaska Air National Guard was sentenced to 4 weeks in a Singapore jail on Wednesday for violating the country's COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. Great name alert. Brian Dugan-Jurgen. Brian Dugan-Kleben-Kleben, a 44-year-old FedEx pilot from Eagle River, Alaska.
Beautiful place, by the way. Eagle River. They feature that on Life Below Zero.
Well, he was a hop in the pond with FedEx. He was from in Australia. Then he hopped over to Singapore on April 3rd and was immediately served with a mandatory stay-at-home notice for 14 days. So as soon as you're in country, 14 days, go stay the hell by yourself in a room somewhere, whatever. But after only 2 days, the government there says Jurgen left his location.
That's Dugan-Jurgen, right?
Dugan-Jurgen, and took a train to a busy commercial area, purchased multiple personal items over the span of 3 hours. And this took place just days after Singapore announced a circuit breaker curbing social and economic activity in an effort to slow the spread. Because they, even just a week before, had the highest numbers in that country, in that whole entire area. Mm-hmm. So here's how his jaunt went. Here's what went down. Only a few days after he's supposed to be spending 2 weeks, he can only last a few days until he goes to a airport station, busy train station, took a train to City Hall Station, walked about 30 minutes to a shopping mall. There was about 1,000 people at the station, 10 to 20 people in each shop he visited. He bought a thermometer, a few boxes of face masks at 4 stores. At that point, it was difficult finding such supplies in Alaska. And his lawyer said he wore a mask on the trip. As he walked to another train station, someone from FedEx called and told Jurgen, Dugan-Jurgen, to get the fuck back to his room. And he got in a taxi right away. So, I mean, it seems counterintuitive to break your quarantine, your mandatory quarantine, to buy COVID-19 supplies.
Just and that's a little opposite. I don't know much about Singapore, but that's not a country that I would fuck with. I've read the news enough to know that you don't fuck around in Singapore. You don't fuck around in Sri Lanka. They will cane your ass in the street and not think twice about it.
Right.
When you're in other countries, you got like, you're in it. So I wonder
especially when you're not even under like the DOD anymore, because he used to be in the Air Force. When you're just a civilian working for FedEx, that's a whole different paint job. Because if you are a military member, you have a little bit more protection with status of forces agreements and shit like that. You don't have that when you're just a casual pilot for FedEx just hanging out in Sri Lanka for a couple of days.
And also, on top of that, while he's sitting in jail, he has to imagine that FedEx also not pleased at this publicity. So it's like,
because they're very busy right now. It's a big time for FedEx. They're dropping off all kinds of stuff from my car and house and all kinds of stuff. They need everybody they can get.
They need all hands on deck for what Chaps has cooking for this summer.
I know. I'm basically keeping the economy afloat just with these purchases that I'm making. But going there and being told for 14 days, you got to stay in your room in Sri Lanka, I could see that sucking because you want to go out and visit it. Well, but 4 weeks in a Singapore jail.
My question is, people, like you're saying, like people have to be sneaking out and doing whatever. But somebody knew to call him and tell him to get back to his room. Was he being stupid and posting shit? Is my question.
Maybe, or maybe it was the barracks duty. Maybe FedEx has barracks duties.
I don't know, but definitely not fun. Not a good time. So,
off the top of your head, real quick, and you might not have an answer, so I apologize putting you on the spot like this. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've posted something on social media and then it's come back to get you in trouble?
I mean,
whenever I would drink too much and I would post shit about work.
I did a post on Facebook once on St. Patrick's Day Eve. Where it was a joke, but it was like, I can't believe command, because it was just a work night. It was like it was like a Tuesday in the Marine Corps, and I was like, I can't believe our staff sergeant's not letting us go out in San Diego tonight. clearly he thinks the nation's security is more important than me getting hammered on, blah, blah, blah. It was like clearly a joke.
Right.
Yeah. But this man did not understand humor in any way. Called a super early formation the next morning, called me out, was like, just disrespectful, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I hope everybody else gets it. This guy's an idiot. And I'm clearly fucking joking. But like, no matter what I said, he didn't. He was like, now you can try and change it up and pretend like you weren't trying to jab at me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? So anyway, I like fucked over our whole, we had to do extra PT and everything.
Everybody say thanks, Corporal Mannion.
Yeah, thanks, Corporal Mannion. It was for a dumb St. Patrick's Day joke about how I was like saying it was more important to be in the Marines than to go get drunk. Anyways, it was, yeah. So it was like just a case of zero sense of
humor. Joke. That is the
joke. That is the
joke.
The thing you're mad about.
That's what I was getting at. What about you, Con?
Yeah.
No, of course not. I would never do such a thing. Come on. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, your reputation took a big hit whenever you thought that there was more people than chairs. So
that's true. Ooh. Yeah, lest we forget.
I forgot all about that. What happened?
I didn't forget about that because I have it stored on my internet, which is protected by our good friends at ExpressVPN. They are unbelievable if you need to have your IP address protected, which I would argue that everybody does, and so would Kyle, our producer. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think about your internet privacy, but you should be, my friends, because you need to fire up that incognito mode, but it doesn't do everything you need to. Incognito mode still lets your school, still let your work sees where you're at. That's why whenever I'm home, I go with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN makes sure your ISP, which is also for you non-computer nerds out there, internet service provider, can't see what sites you visit. Instead, your internet connection is rerouted through ExpressVPN servers, and each ExpressVPN server has an IP address that's shared among thousands of users. That means everything you do is anonymous. It's just anonymous. You're out there floating on the internet, doing whatever you want, willy-nilly. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data with the best-in-class encryption. So for your information is always protected. Use the internet with confidence for your computer, tablet, or smartphone. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device. Simply tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is the fastest and most trusted VPN on the network. It's rated number one by CNET, Wired, and The Verge, and it also has the number one rating in the official Uncle Chaps Express VPN market out there, which is highly sought after. It got my endorsement there. So protect your online activity today with a VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/zero. You can get an extra 3 months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/zero. expressvpn.com/zero to learn more. All right, we're going to move into round number 4 now, and this is a little bit different. So this one has to deal with coronavirus, but in a much different way. I remember watching movies. I think it was when Back to the Future came out, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 1986 when Back to the Future came out. That might be wildly wrong. It might be 1992 or 82. Anyways, so
it was 80. It was 85. But go 85. Ahead.
I was close with 86.
Yeah, yeah. 86 was close.
Yeah. So when ExpressVPN, when Back to the Future came out, I remember watching that movie and seeing like the hoverboard skateboards and things like that that were supposed to happen around this time and thinking, man, that's some futuristic shit. I wonder if something like that happens. What they're wearing in Dubai right now is from a movie like that. What was the one with Wesley Snipes? Demolition Man?
Demolition Man, yeah.
Yeah, so they have like these masks that go over your head. It looks essentially like a fancy boy motorcycle helmet. And it's got the LaDainian Thomason visor where you can't see anything. It's just all chromed out. You can't see anything in it. But it has these sensors inside that scan people's faces to tell if they have a temperature or not. They could be all the way across in a crowd. The guy or the lady that's the cop is moving left or right, and a little temperature gauge will drop above their head. And if they have a temperature, they're like, you better get out.
Get out. I just realized halfway through my get out, I realized I was on mute. So.
Yeah. I think that technology like this is insane, man. Like that they can actually do that. It's crazy because they have the video that they posted online because some people in Dubai aren't very happy about it. And they're actually popping up in other European cities too. Like Milan has some where It's a motionless police officer. They face hidden by an outsized helmet with a camera mounted on top. On the right is a live view from the helmet itself, showing people walking around with face masks. A number displays above their head as they move around. Their live body temperature is captured by the helmet's infrared camera. This is a YouTube video advertising the wares of the KC Wearable, one of the Chinese company's many futuristic surveillance tech to keep track of COVID. Some of this shit is legit scary. Like, listen to some of this stuff that it could do. So they can measure the temperature of a specific individual just by looking at them. They can measure the temperatures of people passing by in larger crowds, scan a person's QR code for personal data, recognize license plates, spot people in the dark, or recognize people just by using facial recognition. That is some 1984 George Irwin type shit.
George Irwin.
Right?
I don't know.
George
Orwell?
George Orwell.
Wait, man, I always had a literary fucking reference that would knock it out of the park.
1984 Steve Irwin for you. There's crocodiles everywhere.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's okay. But yeah, it is very creepy and very freaky, and I don't like it. And I sure hope that laws are able to keep up with all this shit. I don't know. I don't like it. And also, I don't like the thought of somebody being able to see every time I fart.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrifying.
I don't know. To me, this just speaks to the famous quote by Dr. Ian Malcolm. You know, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Brilliant. Thank you, Cons.
Yes. So I don't know. Just because we have the capabilities to do certain things doesn't mean that we should go ahead and do them.
Well, surveillance finds a way, you know. So you just gotta. But anyway, I don't like it at all. I keep it away from me, and
I think that's part of the attacks on, like, the Fourth Amendment. Like, we had a lot since 9/11, like with the Patriot Act and things like that. The government's ability to track your information, to know what you're doing, is at a different level than it's ever been before. And we talk about, I think one of the most common arguments that you have with the Second Amendment would be that the framers did not envision the type of weaponry that we have now, like as far as being widely held by civilians. They sure as fuck didn't have any idea what would be going on with privacy as far as facial recognition and crowds and things like that. I always thought about whenever I would watch Western movies, if I lived in the 1800s, I would be murdering people left and right, hopping on a horse and heading out west. Who knows?
I don't know. Is that something you want to say out loud?
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't live in the 1800s, but if somebody, if you could have a duel and then I just duel you up, and I fucking shoot you right
and
into the neck.
And just peace out?
Then I'm gone, dude. What am I doing? I got tired of the banking life, so I decided to mosey out west.
Oh, and you know what, too? I wish I lived in a mosey.
Everywhere.
I wish I lived in a mosey era.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, we really missed out on that era.
We're kind of getting back to moseying, though. Think about it. With your new bike, Kate, you're 21-speed moseying.
I was a slight zigzag on your bike, just going down the street a bit. That's a mosey. And
you're moseying over yonder.
Let's bring mosey back.
Yeah, I'm bringing mosey back.
If there's one takeaway from this thing going on over there with these crazy masks, so we're going to bring back mosey.
But they've tried other different elements too, like drones going to other places where we've seen in different protests where they'll shoot them down with lasers, like the crowd will get into it with lasers. They have robot dogs in different places that can go around and keep you all contained up in one spot. I think that we really do have to worry about the Fourth Amendment. Like that, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but the right to privacy still got to exist on a basic fundamental level. While I'm saying that, I'm in an earshot of probably 3 Google Homes and like 4 Amazon Fire tablets can hear everything that I say. That's what somebody was like, Dave Portnoy has the mug that can go in and have all this different things where they could pick him up on surveillance and shit like that. Dude, anybody could hack in on anything unless you have ExpressVPN with the promo code 0. That's the way that I would get down around that. Yeah. Speaking of, I listened to my first episode ever of Call Her Daddy today, and it was fantastic.
Oh, what was it about?
Dave took it over. Have you not heard, Kate?
No.
I knew as soon as you said that.
ZBT, so I want to do a little spill in the tea here.
I got my mug.
I have never listened to Call Her Daddy. It's just not my demographic. Like, I think that what they do, they're very talented women, like the way that they go about their business. It's unique. It's garnered a lot of attention. Well, they were in a big time contract dispute with Barstool Sports, which obviously presents Zero Block 30 as well. And if there's one thing that I know about Dave and Erica, they're very fair as far as finances go. Like whenever I first got hired, I had a 2-year contract. I thought that I outperformed my contract. So after a year, I approached Dave and I was like, hey, can I get a raise? Absolutely. No problem. He ripped up my old contract, signed me to a new one. And if I outperformed this one, he would do the same thing again. Yeah. That's just how they are. It's how they've always been. We are very well paid and represented here at Barstool Sports. That's not an issue for me.
Yeah.
Dave went in on their feed on Call Her Daddy and basically spilled everything that happened behind the scenes. Like he was like, Sophia was the mastermind behind this. Her boyfriend was trying to get her to do this because she's an HBO exec and blah, 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 blah. And I was listening while I was riding around this morning going to get some coffee. And I was just like enthralled. Like, I can't believe this is real life. So if you like the Kardashian style drama, it is that times a million. I mean, because he is the chief of content at Barstool, he can go in and go on our feed if he wants to, because he owns it all.
I have to tell you too, because like, right, say what you will about Call Her Daddy, they have it. They curated themselves an extremely loyal following.
Huge fan.
My DMs and even text messages from some of my cousins who were obsessed with the show, like, what's going on? Can you tell me anything? An ex-wife of one of my old Marines messaged me on Instagram. I was like, I haven't talked to you in a hot minute. She's like, hey, do you have any scoops on Sophia and Alex? And it's like, even if I did, I wouldn't be telling you. But now that it's out in the open, now it's up in the air. But people are like obsessed with it.
And I've told people, like, I doubt they know my name. Like, I doubt. I've talked to them several times, but I doubt they know who I am.
Yeah. So
a lot of people are asking me as well, Kate, and I'm just like, I think there's probably two people who know what's going on, and that's Dave and Erica. And they're not sharing it with everybody for a good reason, obviously. But
and that's the funny part about Barstool is that you would think in a company like ours that a lot of us know a lot of the other things behind the scenes. That's not the case with a lot of the stuff. When it's drama, when Barstool got sold, for instance, to Penn National, I found out about it on a conference call like a day before it was announced in the media. We don't know shit before it happens. No. It's not like Dave talks to us all the time anyways. So, but just getting that little clip, if you want some drama and you're bored sitting at home and you want to hop in, he explains everything, breaks it down. It's unbelievable. It's the Call Her Daddy podcast, which they didn't ask me to say anything. I just think it was an unbelievable listen this morning.
Head on over there after this.
You know, people say what they will about Dave, but I think one thing that is undeniable about him is that he's very fair.
Yeah.
Right? And honest. And brutally.
And honest. Yeah. And he's never going to do anything to try to, you know, manipulate someone or get a gain for himself. He was just very honest. And he even, if you listen to the episode, the podcast, he went out of his way to try to, you know, acquiesce to what their demands were. And he tried to make it work.
Right.
So it's interesting to watch this all unfold.
Yeah. And to act like you don't get paid much when you're breaking in a half a mil. It's crazy.
Yeah. You're doing okay.
You act like you're a broke bitch. You got $500,000.
For one podcast a week and no blogs.
Yeah,
and
not do anything else to run your mouth about a Gluck Gluck 9000.
Oh, boy.
Unbelievable.
Let's see.
I'd imagine you could, you know, walk the streets and offer many people that opportunity.
Yeah,
I think a lot would jump at it.
I saw it at like 5:30 this morning when I woke up and I was scrolling through. I did a Twitter search. The ladies that are big time daddy gang were upset. They're like, I wish I made that much money to be acting like I'm broke. Unbelievable. They betrayed us. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wonder what the equivalent would be with ZBT. That'd have to be like that one of us committed like big time stolen valor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have to come out that one of us was just completely dishonest about our entire
career. Well, wait till that Kate getting introduced as a Purple Heart recipient.
I know. My goodness. I did. And I just ran with it. I said, give me those free drinks, Dad.
Oh, by the way, I had probably one of my greatest dad jokes of all time yesterday.
Go on.
So, Kelsey, my poor older baby, like, poor thing. And it broke my heart whenever it happened. But she crashed her bike. She was riding a friend home and meeting halfway, and then she rides home. Well, a little kid darted out into the street, like right before her, and she jerked her handlebars too far and spilled over.
Yeah.
Got a pretty bad cut on her eye, like abrasion bruise, and then a big spot on her hip. and she came home. She's not a big crier or anything like that. And she came in and she's like, "Daddy, I got hit." And I saw where it was on her eye.
You thought she got punched?
Oh, dude, I like flew. I was like laying down on the bed. It was like 8:45 at night. And I like jumped up and I was like, "What?" And I was like, "What? Who?" And she was like, "No, like I flipped on my bike and hit my head." And I was like, "Oh." And so then I like assessed the situation, was like looking at her eyes and things like that. Well, after I calmed her down, she started like bawling and I was holding on to her and like telling her it's going to be okay. But it was scary. Like wrecking your bike for the first time, a major wreck is a scary thing to go through.
Jax, it's going to happen to both of us soon.
Oh, yeah.
Soon she'll be holding you as right. you cry.
And so we're, the situation calms down after like 5 or 10 minutes. We're just sitting there. She's drinking a water. I give her some aspirin and things like that. I come into my office and then I go back out in the kitchen and I hand her my Purple Heart medal. And I'm like, "Here, this is for you." And she's like, "Dad, you're such an idiot."
"Oh, God, Dad."
I'm like, "God, hey.
Oh, come on."
Okay, I'm like, "Good night, Kels. Good night, Dad. You're such an idiot."
Yeah.
What a loser. So, yeah. All right, let's move into Save Round's Alibis. What a wild show.
Indeed.
Kate, we'll start with you.
I don't know anymore.
I'll say, you look more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed than you have had the last couple episodes.
You think?
I think the outside time, the bike time, is doing your brain good.
Yeah, I think so too.
You look more clear.
That the weather is better has been a real treat. And because it's funny you said that. Didn't brush my hair this morning or shower or do my teeth yet.
But your eyes, it gets out. The eyes are the window of the soul. That's what they say.
The eyes are the window of the soul and they're wide open.
Yeah, so. I did have a bone to pick with you yesterday, though. I came at you pretty hard.
Uh-oh. Yes, uh-oh. This is true. What?
So 2 days, I texted Kate a picture of a table that I made. And my workshop station that I set up. And then I sent her a picture of the couch that I made. And no response back over 24 hours. And I said, I typed all caps, "How can you not care about this?"
"How could you not care?" I got last night. And I was like, "Oh, I care so much. I'm so sorry." You know when you're like off doing something and you check your phone and you're like, "Oh, I'll get back to them in a second." And then like 3 days have gone by and you're like, "Well, now I can't. Now I've made it weird." And then you panic.
And now I'm pushing the bounds with like a lot of people that I text with, a lot of people caring. My guy Kyle, he cares all the time. He loves it. So, but everybody else is like John will be like, "Cool, man." Keith is like, "That's badass." Yeah. But I know deep down nobody cares. But you got to share
with someone. It's a treat. It's a treat. Yeah. I'm happy for you.
Well, yeah, you know, Kate's just – Kate goes in waves with texting. She's a big wave texter you know, she's like very locked in. And then other times, if you don't hear anything, you just know like, all right, I'm not expecting to get a response from Kate.
I actually worry more about Kate when she texts back right away.
Yeah, that's a strange thing.
She's alone. She's very lonely. Normally it's like, oh, she'll get back to me next week.
Yeah, I've got like 350 unopened texts right now, piling up again, doing that same old thing. Watched An Officer and a Gentleman this weekend.
Mm. Right.
One of my mom's favorite movies.
Oh, I hated it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think it's that great.
Terrible.
So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, what a wild concept. How did that thing win so many awards? Probably because there's nipples in it.
Oh, I don't remember it. I've seen it probably a million times, but I haven't seen it since I had like an adult brain.
Anyway, so
I just remember him like making out and shit, and then making the drill instructor. Now that I think back, the drill instructor looked mean, but that he was easily manipulated, and like the officer guy was like way smarter than him.
Yeah,
right.
He was like five times in the movie, Richard Gere looks at the drill instructor guy. He's like, "Hey, motherfucker, talk to me." And the drill instructor's like, "Okay." And it's like, that would never happen. Never. I was just beside myself. But there is nipple in it for anybody who's looking for a little.
Oh hell yeah. Anybody wants a little areola action, head on over. Gods, what about you?
I got to give my sister a shout-out, Maura. We call her Mo. And we were sitting outside.
I love her, by the way. She's a delight.
She's a very nice girl. Young woman, yes. We're sitting outside, and all of a sudden, we're sitting out outside. I have two entrances to my apartment. And I probably shouldn't be telling this. Someone's probably going to take this information and come find me.
There's a front and a back.
I have options for coming to go.
Which door should I have my butler meet you at?
Anyway, we're sitting outside, and all of a sudden, we notice there's a cockroach. And please do not, you know, I don't want a cockroach infestation.
But it's to be expected. I mean, you live in New Jersey. I mean,
yeah. There's a cockroach from time to time. Whatever.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, the cockroach is like going towards to come into my apartment, and the door is just cracked open, and Maura, just without even thinking, just grabs that thing by the hand, crushes it with her bare hand.
What?
Didn't even think twice. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
I just, well, you know what? She went to school in the Bronx, Kate, you know, same as you. And, like, I think that just toughened her up.
That's unbelievable.
I love that your shout out to your sister.
Yeah, I think this is episode like 280 something. Hands. First time Mo's been mentioned, really.
I was impressed.
And there's a cockroach killing.
Holy
now
shit.
Now she
balls.
Just got to mosey out west and start a new life.
That's true. She should mosey some more. You know, that roach was probably just trying to mosey. Yeah. She crushed it.
Oh, fancy meeting you here, Mo.
So I've lived in Hoboken since 2012. That's the first time I ever saw a cockroach in Hoboken.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so I don't want you guys to think I'm living in squalor.
There's been one on my stairwell.
The worst, man.
On my apartment building. It's been here the entire time I've lived here, and we all just step over it every day, this little cockroach body.
You probably have a name for him.
Kevin. Anyway, he's been there this entire time, and we all just step over it. Every now and then, he's an inch to the right, an inch to the left, but it's like,
would
right
you
there.
Rather your house be constantly have 10 fruit flies around, or there's perpetually 2 cockroaches that just skitter about and you can't kill them?
Jeez Louise.
If I knew it was only 2 and it would only ever be the same 2.
Yeah, it's only 2.
I would train them like a flea circus and we'd have a nice time together. I'll do that.
Cons?
I think I would go with that too, because I think they would mostly stay out of vision. So I'd know that they were there, but I wouldn't have to. It would be out of sight, out of mind type thing. Whereas the flies, I think they would constantly be around
my
head.
Have I ever told you my horror story with the flies?
No.
Oh my God. So
is
when
this
I,
the mosquitoes with the horses?
No. When I lived in the Bronx, the trash bins were right below for 5 apartments above and below us. The trash bins were like right below the window. So I was a big plant lady, had a bunch of different plants, and it really, really watered the shit out of them, and then went down the shore for the week, and I left some of the windows cracked. Well, I guess it would have been like a super hot week or whatever, and I didn't realize that flies will use any kind of moisture like lay their eggs or whatever. They must have come up from the trash cans, gotten through a hole in the screen, and started laying eggs in my wet plants while I was gone down the shore.
Oh, no.
I opened the door coming back from the shore. When I tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And at that point, I had to Google it. I had to call an exterminator. At that point, they lay eggs in the rugs. They lay eggs. You have to throw out your rugs, your pillows, your couches. You have to pretty much throw all your shit out and like start life anew, because the eggs, it's just once they start laying eggs, they're fucking every. It was insane. It was the worst thing I've ever. I couldn't even stay there. Like, it was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. It was horrible.
Cool story by me. That's so terrible. The police are coming.
Yeah,
you heard in the background.
I swear to God, I had no idea. And I was like, am I a dirt ball? Am I whatever? And so I started Googling, and it happens to people sometimes. They go away, and when they come back, like, flies have taken over their shit. And it's like,
that's
insane.
Gross.
Yeah.
The only thing that I've ever had like that was we moved to Pensacola. After we moved from Jacksonville to Pensacola, we rented this house and we went to go in it. And it was one of those houses, you know, that it's like a fake bottom where it's not really a basement, but it's kind of like on blocks. Like, it's an old style, like built around like the 50s or 60s, where they would, in like wet areas like Pensacola, they built it off the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
And so.
So a trailer park?
No, not a trailer park. It was a pretty nice house, actually. So we're in there, and you walk in, and you're like, oh, this is a really nice house. There's 2 big family rooms. We're all stoked about staying there. This is our new place. I had a big room and things like that. Well, we lay down at night, and as soon as we do, you just feel it. You just get covered with fleas. And there's fleas everywhere, all over your body. Like,
oh, I would have lost my fucking mind.
And we had to go and get like all these big bombs, like the flea bombs and shit, and set them off. There's something about having bugs in your personal space.
Nightmare. Yeah,
just disgusting. I think the grossest thing that you could do, my grossest personal vision is when you open up the trash can and you see maggots in there.
Oh, God, yes. Don't. I can't. Instant. I told you about the one party where I got stuck babysitting some higher-ups kids, and then they came back from the bar. California, you had ants everywhere. If you left food on your counter because of all the dirt and sand or whatever, sorry for the sirens. And the one staff sergeant, there had been, I wiped down everything or whatever, but by the time they came back, a little line of ants had gotten into this pizza that was on the counter. And the staff sergeant was like, I don't give a fuck. And then put this ant-covered pizza in the microwave and ate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good move. Ants, I don't think ants is that bad. It's bugs that like gush that I think would be gross. Yeah. Like a caterpillar or a grub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that like is just
something Timon and Pumbaa would be cool with.
If Pumbaa's hanging out, then I think, whatever that was. Anyways,
I had ants in my house in Texas the one time. That the fire ants. I just came home one day, went into my bathroom, and because they like the wet areas. I go into my bathroom and in the sink, the entire sink is just covered with ants. I was like,
gross.
What is going on right now?
When this ants used terrible. To get in the back porch, mom would just sweep them off with the broom. All right, let's end the show. It's on their treat.
Little infestation goofing. That's always fun.
We'll mosey back here on Friday.
I do love a moseying.
Oh, who doesn't love a good mosey?
I love a good mosey.